A new report suggests that young people aren't interested in running for elected office. In fact, it's last on their list of jobs they want, and at the top of the list of jobs they actually don't want.
Our guest is worried about what that means for the future of representative government. Jennifer Lawless is with us. She's co-author of the study, and she's professor of government and director of the Women and Politics Institute at American University. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
In the study, you surveyed high schoolers and college students, over 4,000 of them. What did you find?
The general conclusion was that politics is at the bottom of the list. Only about 11% of the 4,200 high school and college students that we interviewed said that they were interested in running for office later in life.
And that they might be interested, as I read it, not that
right.
They for sure would. Yeah,
absolutely.
Is this different than previous generations? Did we used to be more run for office minded?
It's difficult to know because surveys haven't really asked young people about their political ambition. We do know that they've been civically engaged over the course of the last 50 years, and our research indicates the same is true. These young people do want to improve their communities. They want to help make the world a better place, but the evidence is pretty compelling that they don't think of electoral politics as an effective route by which to do so.
So I guess the big question is why? Why are young people turned off to politics, to running for office?
I think a lot of it has to do with the current political environment. They look around and they don't like politicians. They don't see effective policies. They see gridlock. They see hyperpartisanship and a lot of bickering. And they're surrounded by parents and teachers and other adults in their lives who are equally turned off. If you look at recent polls over the course of the last year, congressional approval has hit an all-time low. Barack Obama's approval ratings have reached an all-time low. And we've also seen a government shutdown. We've seen ineffective party wrangling over a wide variety of issues. We've seen stymied political appointments. There's very little out there to suggest that politics is a noble profession.
We'll dig more into the reasons here and the attitudes, but why does this make you worried?
The main problem is that in the United States, there are more than 500,000 elective offices. And the health of democracy is predicated on the fact that good qualified people will run for these positions and electoral competition will hold them accountable. So if the best and the brightest are not interested in pursuing this in the future, it really questions whether we're going to have the high quality elected officials we need to continue to move the country in the right direction.
How much do you think our actual elected officials should be blaming themselves for the way they talk about politics, approach politics, and deal with partisan conflict?
I think it really is the fault of the elected officials. They have given Americans a laundry list of reasons to be dissatisfied with the way that they're running the country. That's not to say that they didn't get into politics for the right reasons, but I do think that we've reached a point in time where government dysfunction has suggested that no normal, sane person would want to throw his or her hat into the ring. And so the only people that can change that and the only way people can elevate the discourse is if these elected officials realize the consequences of their actions and that the consequences of their actions transcend policy. They're also turning off an entire generation.
Is this really that new? I know we can't really track this attitude over time, but isn't there a sense that young people are always turned off by politics in one way or another, or is this maybe a newer phenomenon?
Well, given that there seems to be a very big relationship between whether adults have suggested to young people that they think about running for office and the young people's attitudes toward running, I think we might have reached a problem that is not typical and has not been seen over the course of the last several decades, because we do know that adults who are in a position to encourage young people to run for office are more turned off now than they've been over the course of the last 50 years. So I do think the situation is a little bit more grave. But that said, sometimes it's calling attention to these issues that can really change the situation. So maybe if people realize the consequences of the current levels of dissatisfaction, they'll try to turn those around.
That was one of the things you surveyed, right? You asked the students, are there adults in your life, parents, counselors, whatever, suggesting that you run for office?
Right. And we found that the overwhelming majority of them had nobody ever suggested to them. Parents were the most frequent recruiters, if we can call them that. And still 3 out of 4 respondents never had a parent suggest it. So when parents, teachers, coaches, religious leaders, the people with whom they work, their friends, are not encouraging them to at least think about or keep open the idea of running for office, it's very unlikely that the young people will come up with that idea on their own.
Well, Jennifer Lawless sticks with us to talk more about this report, but now I want to bring in Kelly Crombie. He's the mayor of Columbus, Wisconsin. He's 29 years old, 28 when elected. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So at what age did you know that you wanted to get into politics if you're running for mayor at age 28?
I think I always knew it at some point that I would run for office. I wasn't sure exactly when it would happen. This last March, I decided to run for mayor, and the papers came out then in December, and that's when the campaign started.
And was it common as a high school student, were you talking to your peers or a college student talking to your peers, hey, I'm going to run for office, that's what I want to do with my life? Did you hear that from people you knew at that age?
Not so much in high school, more in college, I would say, was the case. I know I was a politics and government major at Ripon College in Wisconsin. I know a couple of other of my department classmates are also hold elected office now.
And did you start preparing? Was there something you started doing in high school or college, you know, with the idea of building up your resume, building up your skills to run for office?
No, not particularly. I think that by the time I finally decided to run for mayor, I had owned a small business here in Columbus for 5 years and had just earned my law degree. So I thought it was the right time for me to jump into that.
In the poll we're talking about now, one of the questions they posed to students, they listed a whole bunch of jobs, going into business, a couple other things, and one of them specifically was being a mayor, which you are now, consistently ranked at the bottom of the list. That's the one job people didn't want to do. If there are younger people listening, or older people for that matter, can you make a case for, hey, being a mayor isn't such a bad job after all?
No, I think it's a great job. I think that local government is the level of government that touches people's lives the most. And I think that it's a great way to help your community and help people out.
And do you have advice for someone thinking, hey, maybe I do want to run for city council, mayor, state assembly sometime? What should they do to get their chops together before they make that run?
I think, survey the community, ask people in the community what they think. See what the issues are, and there's no harm in putting your name into the onto the ballot. Win or lose, I think it's a great opportunity to participate in democracy.
All right, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Kelly Crombie, mayor of Columbus. Now, Jennifer Lawless, do you think that people aren't hearing stories like that enough and not hearing the case for going into elected office enough?
Absolutely. I think that's a big part of the problem. We hear all the time about the problems, the dysfunction, the disappointments. We don't hear the inspiring stories about what elected leaders can do and how they can enact policy and how electoral politics is a way to affect change in a positive way in their communities. And so hearing more about those stories and publicizing the successes, I think, is what's required to turn this around and make people realize that politics can be a noble profession, and it should be something that young people aspire to do.
One thing that would turn someone like me away from running is it looks like a lot of not fun to run for office. People take a lot of pot shots at you. When you're in office, you take a lot of blame for anything that's going wrong. How do you sell the positive side against those fairly obvious negatives?
Well, I'd say two things. The first is that part of the problem, I think, is that we tend to view politics through a national lens, when the reality is that the overwhelming majority, several hundred thousand elected offices in this country, are at the local level. And those offices often garner virtually no media attention, very little scrutiny. They're really just a way for good people to help solve problems in their communities. But we tend to think about running for president or the U.S. Senate or competitive congressional races and decide that that's off-putting. So I think sort of broadening our definition and our discussion of what electoral politics really involves is required. The other thing that I would note is that I ran for Congress in 2006 unsuccessfully, but it was the most amazing experience of my life. And although there are potshots and although there is some negative campaigning that goes on, it really pales in comparison to the incredibly inspirational stories you hear on the campaign trail and the fact that you really do find yourself in a position to affect change. So I really think that one of the things that's required is for us to bolster the positives and stop focusing so much on the negatives.
We're talking to Jennifer Lawless of American University. She's talking about her new report on why young people aren't interested in getting into running for office.
And we'd like to hear from you on this. Have you ever thought about running for office? And what swayed you to run or maybe not to run? Why do you think younger people are feeling turned off by the idea of running for office? Call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send your email to talk@wpr.org. We continue our conversation with Jennifer Lawless of American University. Her new report looks at why younger Americans don't want to run for office.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Young or old, have you ever made that decision to run for office, or you thought about it and you didn't? What factors went into that decision? 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got Alex in Oregon holding on the line. Alex, hi.
Hi there. My question for Ms. Lawless is, assuming that the negative publicity that Congress is receiving is what is turning younger people off to politics, is there any possibility that it's only affecting those kids who might have been on the fence and sort of push them away, but in some ways strengthens the desire for that 11% to go into public policy and to do really good things and sort of turn the system around? Is there any positivity that can come out of it for those students who are still really committed?
So the diehards who are into politics may be more excited about running.
That's certainly possible. There's no question that predispositions matter a lot. And so the people that have an inclination or may have been at least somewhat interested in running, when they see things that are not working, they might be more inspired to turn that potential consideration into definite interest. So that's certainly a possibility. The fact remains, though, that almost 9 out of 10 people who are between the ages of 13 and 25 have already decided that this is something they don't want to do. And it's kind of concerning because when we hear 90% of people not interested in going into math or science, for example, there's a national outcry. But because politics is not seen as a noble or reputable profession, we tend not to be as concerned.
Is there also a thought that politics is too important for the politician types, that we need a certain quotient of normal people, however you want to define that?
Right, not just sort of stunted student body presidents who decide that this is what they want to do with their
lives. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But certainly, that's exactly the case. I think that our democracy is predicated on the idea that typical citizens who have normal needs and regular interests and are just like everybody else can actually contribute meaningfully if they hold elected office. And we see that in the nature of our system. The fact that we have so many elected positions reinforces that. So it's vital that we make sure that young people are at least thinking about it. If they decide that it's not something that they want to do, that's one thing. But if it's not occurring to them in the first place, and if they'd rather do anything else, then I think that's something for adults and politicians to seriously consider.
Alex, thanks for the call. We'll go to Randy in West Allis now. Randy, hi.
Oh, hi. I'm calling just because I've experienced politics as a participant in two phases of my life. In my early 20s, which was back in the early 1980s, I actually ran for Libertarian sheriff, Libertarian candidate for Milwaukee County Sheriff. I actually got enough signatures to get on the ballot, but boy, there's no way I would do that now with how crazy personal people take politics with all the flames on Twitter, et cetera. And I can follow that up with a few years ago in the town where I live. There was a political dispute about street improvements, which the majority of people in our neighborhood didn't want. We ended up getting the city to compromise with what the neighborhood wanted. But just from that brief experience, I saw so many people swearing and actually saying really horrible things about other people. And unfortunately, this was a political, just a mundane political matter about whether to widen the streets. It's just, I can't imagine any rational person wanting to put themselves through that.
All right, Randy, thank you so much for bringing that up. So, yeah, it's different than it used to be, Jennifer. We can't escape the constant Twitter, Facebook, even if it's just a local office. There can be some ubiquitous, nasty response out there.
That's certainly the case, and I think it's a viable decision and completely respectable for a lot of people to decide that they don't have the personality for it or they don't want to withstand it. I am concerned that 13 to 17-year-olds, though, have already made that decision, and I think that's where there really could be room for change and room for some improvement and room to shift those young people's attitudes, because it's one thing to make a conscious decision based on a lot of information. It's another thing to have a knee-jerk reaction when you're in high school that this is something you definitely don't want to do.
Thanks for the call, Randy. Jessica in Kewaskum is on the line now. Jessica, hi.
Hi. Thank you for letting me be on, first of all. But second, I was wondering, is part of the reason why people don't want to go into office at such a young age because of the fact that it's not necessarily a secure position? You know, if you get a degree in, let's say, teaching or something like that, you're going to be a teacher. If you get a degree in politics and things like that, you have to rely on people voting for you and things like that. And in our society, it might be an issue.
Thank you, Jessica, for bringing that up. And that I always wonder about that. How do you plan for your future, for your career, if it's such a 50-50, if you're going to even have the job next year?
Right. That's an excellent point. And certainly for federal positions, that's a major issue. But most states have part-time legislatures, and most local offices, with the exception of mayor, although even many mayors, are also part-time. So the people that occupy those positions still keep their full-time jobs. And it's really sort of citizen legislatures and citizen politics. So a lot of the time, the trade-off isn't something that people are asked to do, but we perceive those trade-offs, again, because we tend to think about politics through that national lens.
Thanks, Jessica. We go now to Therese in La Crosse. Therese, hi.
Hi there. I wanted to talk about my experience running for state assembly in 1992. At that time, I was a single parent with an 18-month-old daughter, and I had the right heart and the right spirit, but I needed a better support team. It was very difficult being running a household, especially with a small child like that. I really could have used, like, and I think, I don't know if it's any different now, but I really could have used, like, help with housework, help with preparing meals, help with childcare, because there were so many demands on meeting people in the community, going to meetings, answering special interest surveys that came in the mail. It was difficult to handle all the paperwork. And I don't know if they're doing that now, but I think it was would have been very important for me as a woman to and a single parent to have help like that.
Thank you so much, Therese. And Jennifer, I know another thing you research is barriers for women in getting into politics. Can you talk to some of those points that she just brought up there?
Yeah, I mean, the bulk of my research with Richard Fox, who's at Loyola Marymount University, focuses on the gender gap in political ambition and the specific barriers that preclude women's candidate emergence. And there's no question that women operate in networks that are less conducive to their ultimate candidacies than men do, not only because they still often have childcare responsibilities and family responsibilities that they have to reconcile in a way that men still don't have to, but also because they tend not to operate in the networks that are accustomed to providing the kind of support for candidates. Men have always been the candidates, so their colleagues, their friends, the people in their circles sort of know how to support them, not only financially, but also in the nature of the campaign. And only now are we beginning to see women's organizations really develop the tools that help women achieve on those same fronts. So there's no question that the path is very different for women and men, that women are less likely to think that they're qualified in part because of that path, and that women are less likely to get recruited. The good news is that when women run, there's no systematic bias against them. They do just as well as their male counterparts. So figuring out how to encourage more women to run for office is also an important topic and an important endeavor that we need to devote ourselves to.
Jennifer, leave us with a quick thought on who needs to encourage young people to consider running for office.
I think the best thing that we can do right now is have teachers, professors, everybody on college campuses, as well as the media, highlight some of the amazing accomplishments of elected officials and encourage young people who have made it very clear that they want to affect change and improve their communities, encourage them to see elected office as one way to do that and as a very viable way to do so. Because if we can continue to get them at least thinking about that, some of them will run, some of them will win, and some of them, I think, will become very successful and potentially change the overall perception.
Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Jennifer Lawless, professor of government at American University. We've got a link to an op-ed she co-wrote in the Washington Post. You can find that at the Central Time Facebook page, Central Time on WPR. And you can leave your thoughts on whether you would want to run for office someday while you're there.